Lord, I've been working flat out for you. And Lord, you know that I do this because I love you. But after all these years and after all these prayers and after all these sacrifices, I have some questions. Here are people who have been stretching themselves out in faith. They've been going the extra mile. And they have had an increasing sense that somehow God has let them down.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we're beginning a new series called Waiting for the Lord. And we may have some listening today who can relate to what they just heard. They have been extending themselves and serving the Lord, and they're just worn out.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, isn't it wonderful that the Bible addresses every experience that a Christian will ever encounter?
Yeah.
And we're in Isaiah in chapter 40, where there are believing people who are saying, my way is hidden from the Lord. I mean, it seems like, is the Lord not aware of what I'm enduring? And there's this exasperation, this sense of frustration, the sense of, I've given so much, and how am I going to be renewed? I need strength. And the question, you know, my way is hidden from the Lord, it's answered wonderfully in this great promise that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We're going to see how that happens. And my prayer as this series goes out today and over these next days is that God will use this part of the scripture to renew your strength, to renew your hope, and to give you great encouragement to be able to press on in serving him.
Well, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 as we begin a message entitled Collective Weariness. Here is Pastor Colin.
Just over 3 weeks to go till Christmas, you're probably feeling that you have more than enough on your plate, more than you know how to handle. It always strikes me that this is the season of great joy, of course. It's also a season, I think, of the year in which the cumulative weight of all that has happened in the course of our lives easily catches up. I've had several conversations even in the last week just with folks in the congregation who've said to me something along the lines of, you know, it's been a really difficult year in our family, and then they've listed off one thing and another, and it's almost as if coming towards the end of the year now, there is a sense of being worn out, run down, stretched thin with the cumulative weight of all that goes into our lives through a year. Someone described it to me a few days ago as a kind of collective weariness, and I think that that's a good description. And I've been asking the question then, what is the answer to collective weariness? Where would we look in the Bible for help when we feel jaded and discouraged and generally worn down? And my mind, of course, has gone to Isaiah in chapter 40 and to the words that have been read for us today, especially the last verse of the chapter, verse 31, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Now that speaks to me. I'm sure it speaks to you. I find myself saying, Lord, that's what I need, but how do I get there? Now I'm asking the question, how do I get to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. How do I get there? And it strikes me when you ask the question, how do we get to Isaiah 40, 31? It might be that verses 1 to 30 have something to do with the answer, right? And so that is where we're going to camp out over the Advent season. And as many of you will be very well aware already, we are going to find that Isaiah chapter 40 is packed full of anticipations of the birth of Jesus Christ, who of course is our hope and is our strength. And so that's the journey we're going to take in the run-up to Christmas. But I do want to begin today with this promise at the end of the chapter, this promise of renewed strength. And so do please look with me at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Now remember straight away, when you see Jacob, and then you see Israel, we're talking here about God's people. Here are the people that God has redeemed, the ones he brought out of slavery and said to them, I will be your God and you will be my people. Israel, Jacob. So here we have God's people speaking. And what are they saying? Well, they're saying, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. So here's God's people, and they're not happy. Things have not been going their way. They feel that God has been letting them down. And what's particularly significant is that this thought or pattern of thinking has settled in their minds, so that literally the words say and speak here, they're actually in the continuous tense. So literally translated, God says, you keep saying, my way is hidden from the Lord. You keep speaking about how your right is being disregarded and so forth and so on. So understand what we have here in this passage that I'm sure is very, very familiar to most of us. Here are people who have been stretching themselves out in faith. They've been going the extra mile, and they have had an increasing sense that somehow God has let them down. I had some time ago breakfast with a man who was feeling, I think, something of this frustration, and he brought his journal to the breakfast with me. And he put it on the table as the breakfast was served, and he said, Pastor, I want you to see that I've been praying and I've been reading the Bible, and here's my journal that's the proof of it. And then he said, now, these things are happening in my family and so forth and so on. How is this? You see, he was feeling exactly what these people, God's people, were feeling in these verses here. My right is being disregarded. I feel I've extended myself. I've been praying, and I've been living sacrificially. And some of you know what this is like. You have been serving the Lord for many years. Some of you have been extending yourselves in genuinely sacrificial living for the sake of Christ and for the advance of the gospel. And you may come to a place of saying, Lord, I've been working flat out for you. And Lord, you know that I do this because I love you. But after all these years and after all these prayers and after all these sacrifices, I have some questions. Why have you not sent revival? Why has there not been greater blessing? Why have you allowed these difficulties in my family, these pressures in your church? Why have you allowed this great decline of faith that we are seeing in this nation that we love? And these are real questions. And they arise in the hearts of faithful people. And they lurk in the hidden places of the believing heart. And you know what? They sap your strength. And I want you to notice what God does here. He brings this disappointment out into the open. He won't let it lurk in the secret place of the heart. You know, why do you say this is your little pattern of thinking? God's bringing this out into the open so that it can be addressed. And so God is asking the question. And God says, now why do you say, O Jacob, why do you keep speaking, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right has been disregarded? God is asking the question. And here's the very good news for us today. That God is not asking the question in order to condemn us. He asks the question in order to comfort us. And you say, where do you get that from? You just turn back, if it's on the page before, to the first verse of this chapter. What is the whole chapter about? What is the first word? Comfort. Comfort, my people. And then you notice immediately that God says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Here are God's people, and they're feeling jaded, and they're feeling discouraged. And so God does not come to them with some set of demands. He comes, and he speaks to them very tenderly. And so when we hear this question at the end of the chapter that comes right from the mouth of God to his people, and therefore to us today, we are to hear a tender tone in God's voice. Isn't this wonderful? When there is tension in a relationship between God and his people, God reaches out. See, God is not like a father who turns a blind eye to tensions in his own family. That probably happens in some families over Thanksgiving and all kinds of tensions. Just turn a blind eye to it. Just get through the day and also, let's pretend everything's all right. You never find God acting in that way. No, He is a Father who loves His children way too much for that. And so where there is tension, He moves towards the problem. He says, now let's get this out into the open. We need to talk. Let's get this on the table. Let's get it resolved. Now, why are you saying this? He's asking the question. And of course, you do this whenever there is tension in a relationship with someone you really love. What do? You reach out to them. You say, well, now things are not between us as they were before. Now, our relationship means way too much to me to let it slip away. Now, tell me, what have I done? How have I disappointed you? And that's exactly what God is doing here. He's reaching out to His tired and His weary and His discouraged people. And He brings the hidden thoughts of the heart out into the open so that they may be addressed. Now, I love what happens next. So God comes and very tenderly He asks this question to His discouraged people. But you know, when you're tired and worn out, you really don't know how to answer God's questions, do you? But God says, why are you saying this? Why are you thinking this? Lord, I don't know. I'm just worn out. I don't know how to answer.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Collective Weariness, part of our series called Waiting for the Lord. Well, today is the final day to give a gift of any amount to Open the Bible and receive as our way of saying thanks Pastor Colin's CD series, The Lord is My Shepherd. It's our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. To find out more, give a gift right now. Come to our website, openthebible.org, or call 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
God comes, and very tenderly He asks this question to His discouraged people. But you know, when you're tired and worn out, you really don't know how to answer God's questions, do you? But God says, why are you saying this? Why are you thinking this? Lord, I don't know. I'm just worn out. I don't know how to answer. And so very wonderfully, God answers His own question. Thank God that when we don't know how to answer His questions, He does. And I want you to notice the answer that God Himself very tenderly gives to us as He ministers to us to strengthen us in these passages of life. The answer really comes in two parts. Here's the first. Lean into the truth that you know. In a time of weariness, of jadedness, of feeling that the cumulative events of life are catching up with you, lean into the truth that you know, and first, in particular, the truth that you know about God. That's verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary, and His understanding is unsearchable. Now, here's a very important principle, that God reminds His people of what they already know, do you not know, and what they have often heard. In other words, faith is not strengthened by discovering something new. Faith is always strengthened by coming back to what we have already heard and what we have already known. And that is why, for example, even this morning, we're going to gather around the Lord's table. Why do we gather around the Lord's table? Because faith is strengthened not by coming to some grand new discovery, but by coming back to that which we have heard and that which we know, Christ crucified and risen for us. It's as if in the Lord's table, where we'll come to it in a few moments' time, the Lord is saying to us, do you not know? Have you not heard? And pointing us to Christ and to all that is ours in Him. That's how faith is strengthened. Now, what is it in particular here that every believer knows and every believer has heard that God says we need to lean into in our times of weariness? Notice four things in the one verse. First, God is your creator. The Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth. remember this, he formed you in your mother's womb. He gave you life. He chose to do it. He made you. And he did this with the purpose of redeeming you. Brother, sister, he purchased you with his own son. And he's infused his own life into you, recreating you in Jesus Christ. And what God makes, he sustains, he keeps. And that's why it says God does not grow weary. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. He's made you. And that is your guarantee that he will sustain you and that he will guard you and that he will keep you. He's invested his son in redeeming you. And he never runs out of resources. He never tires of his people. There's never a time where God looks at you and says, well, now where do we go from here? He's your creator. He does not grow tired or weary. He works on an everlasting time scale. The Lord is the everlasting God. Think of the time that is at the disposal of God. We feel how very short time is. But think of the time, the generations, the ages that the creator of time himself has at his disposal as he works out his purpose. We only see a tiny bit of it. Who knows whether the granddaughter of your rebel son will turn out to have such a testimony as you could never imagine, and that God's preparation of that will run from three generations. He's the everlasting God. And no one can fathom his understanding. Don't expect to understand the mind of God, because Isaiah says here, his understanding is unsearchable. It is beyond you. It is beyond anyone else that you know. Nobody else can explain to you the mind of God. It's the mind of God. And yet he created you. And he is the one who does not tire and does not weary, who is going to sustain you. So in these times, lean into what you know about God and lean into what you know about yourself. There's a good dose of biblical reality in verses 29 and 30 with regards to ourselves. Look at the words that are used to describe us in these verses. 29, he gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths faint and are weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. There's the fourfold description of our human nature: faint, no might, weary, fall exhausted. Healthy dose of biblical reality. That's us. And not only is that us in our frail humanity, but it is at our best in humanity. That's why it says, you see, even youths faint and are weary. Because youths have more energy, as we discover with every 10 years of our lives. Those who are younger are given the gifts of remarkable energy. Parents think they've got way too much energy and all the rest of it. But even youths are faint and are weary. And then notice this, God says, and young men shall fall exhausted. The phrase young men literally means picked men. And the image here is of an athlete in superb condition. And think of the Olympic selectors picking the team to represent the U.S. And here are these athletes, and they catch the eye of the selector, picked men. And so they're on the team because of their prowess. And so even human strength at its highest point, at its selected point, even picked men shall fall exhausted. So you look even at great athletes at the end of the marathon, the end of the Ironman or whatever it is, and you see they are weary and fall exhausted, and some look faint. And why is that? Because their bodies have been pushed to the very limit. And that's exactly what we're being told here, that there are limits to all human endurance. And that is why Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he pictures the human body as what? A tent. Not a very flattering description, is it? We live in this tent, not a palace of stone held up by marble pillars, but a temporary canopy made of canvas and held up by ropes that stretch and sag. And you look at the fitness of younger people and they're kind of like a tent set up real taut, and then you get older as the decades pass and the ropes are beginning to sag. Does that picture work for you? You know, a little bit of a droop in the ridge. And you say, one day this tent's going to be torn down. It was never made for eternity. It's going to be a resurrection body for that. Now, what does all this tell us? Why is all this truth being given to us? For this reason, no Christian should be surprised at the experience of weariness. God has placed this treasure of Christ where? In jars of clay. And we live in this earthly tent that one day will be torn down. And the experience of weariness that may come to a Christian has come to the best of believers, the strongest of believers, David and Elijah, John the Baptist. And when it comes to you and when it comes to me, here's what we have to do. We have to lean into the truth that we already know, that God has made very clear to us in the Scripture. The truth about God, the truth about ourselves. John Calvin said so wonderfully on one occasion that nearly all the wisdom we can possess is in two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves, and we never possess the one without the other. Very profound. And here God is saying to his people, now you need to lean into the truth of the knowledge of who you are and the knowledge of who God himself is. Here's what you know about God. He's your creator. He will never abandon you. He will never faint. He will not grow weary. And he works on a vast time scale so that what he is doing ultimately is beyond the range of what you can ever imagine. But don't even try. And here's what you need to know about yourself. You are not God. You are a created being with limits to your own strength and your own endurance. You will become weary. You will know what it is to feel spent and to feel exhausted, and that should never take you by surprise.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and the first part of a message called Collective Weariness. It's from a larger series called Waiting for the Lord, where we're taking a look at Isaiah chapter 40. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can come and you can listen at our website, that's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You could also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's a great way to listen on the go, whenever it fits your schedule. Now, the app is free. If you don't have it, you'll find it at your favorite app store. Or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station because of your generosity. We truly are a listener-supported ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's audio series, The Lord is My Shepherd. And Colin, why did you choose to preach on Psalm 23 now?
Well, you know, I'm convinced that one of the best things that a pastor can do is to encourage God's people, and especially at a time when many of God's people are feeling jaded and spent and flat and discouraged. And I think many listening to us, Steve, will know what that is like. These are not easy days. Yeah. And what do we need to do in difficult days? Well, we need to look up to who Jesus Christ is and all that is ours in him. And the 23rd Psalm for 3,000 years has been a means of God encouraging his people. So if you're discouraged today, Psalm 23 is for you.
Well, we want to send you a copy of the series, The Lord is My Shepherd, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give a gift online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. The website again is openthebible.org and the phone number is 877-OPEN-365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Find out next time on Open the Bible.